Last week, I flew to Washington, D.C. for the Bird Conservation Alliance meeting. The BCA is an alliance of big and small organizations throughout the U.S., Canada, and several Central and South American countries, which work together on bird conservation issues. The alliance was originally a project of the American Bird Conservancy. This year's meeting covered a lot of important topics. One of the more disheartening sessions was about mountaintop mining in Tennessee, which destroys a huge amount of natural habitat just to feed our nation's enormous appetite for energy. No matter how electricity is produced and delivered to consumers, it harms birds. Anyone who cares about birds needs to conserve energy and water and support effective ways of encouraging widespread energy conservation measures. There was a panel discussion about birds and man-made structures. Heather Ray from the Fatal Light Awareness Program spoke about her Toronto organization's strides in raising public awareness about window glass, which kills as many as a billion birds every year in the United States alone. Now that some people are becoming more aware that lighted windows up in the airspace of migrating birds draw them in, we're getting some interesting information that indicates the situation is more nuanced and complex than just that. Robert DeCandido, who's been doing counts of nocturnal migrants from atop the Empire State Building, has counted thousands of birds flying about the building, yet found very little evidence that birds are actually crashing into the Empire State Building. Yet thousands of birds do die in collisions with New York buildings. What I think is happening is that the lighted buildings, including the Empire State Building, draw birds to downtown areas. But once they're down there in such inappropriate habitat, as morning approaches, the birds start desperately searching for trees and sky. And Heather Ray is learning that a great many of them die as they come down in the morning and fly directly into mirrored glass reflecting courtyards and into plate glass lobbies showing plenty of indoor plants and trees. Turning lights off on migration nights does indeed minimize the number of birds drawn to cities in the first place, but beyond that, we need to do something to design windows at lobby and street level to provide us with aesthetic building designs and sunlight while not being attractive nuisances to birds. Heather Ray saw one fairly low mirrored building in Washington, and even though it's mid-November and the bulk of migration is over, in a quick walk around it, she found four dead migrants, two white-throated sparrows, a golden-crowned kinglet, and a mangled and partially eaten bird that was likely a song sparrow. We had an informative, if disheartening, presentation about bird flu and an exciting update about the search for the ivory-billed woodpecker. The Bird Conservation Alliance discussed several more issues affecting North American birds and also had an all-day Pan-American symposium with representatives from Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, Honduras, Mexico, and other Latin American countries discussing the most pressing issues in their countries and how the Bird Conservation Alliance can help. And an important discussion by the Alliance for Zero Extinction discussed how they set priorities regionally and nationally. All in all, it was a great meeting that got me fired up about seeing birds in Ecuador and Mexico in my upcoming adventures and about finding more ways to protect these vulnerable places and the birds that depend upon them. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.